This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Chris Arnold riding shotgun.
Got you down.
Planting the flag for us here, top of the hour. Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Top 10 storylines of the Cowboys offseason. What is your favorite storyline to talk about? Is it inside this top 10 from the morning news? And how many of these have nothing to do with Dak Prescott's contract? Quite a few of them, actually. I'm sure you'll be relieved to hear that. It's kind of like the Precious, you know, that Dak conversation. It comes around, and you're like, oh man, that's a hot conversation over there. And then you get in, you're like, oh man, this wasn't quite what I hoped for. Mm-hmm. It's gotten weird all of a sudden. There's more than meets the eye with that bad boy. But every couple of weeks, man, it looks good there for a little bit. Okay, the biggest storyline, at least number one on this list, is a new coaching regime. You know, you can't underestimate how big this story is. It gives us an opportunity to have everything we thought about Jason Garrett by the end be confirmed. Or, you know, if it's the opposite of that, you know, if Jason Garrett was actually doing a good job and trying to overcome the challenges and Mike McCarthy can't do a good job, that would be worst case scenario for Cowboy fans. So as this moves forward, I look at it like you've gotten the coaching hire right twice with Jimmy and Bill Parcells. Do you guys agree with that? Will this be the third?
Yeah, Bill Parcells got rid of me, but yeah, I'll go with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, I know it might be personal,
he had a right to do that too, by the way. It's his team. He could do what he wants. You know,
they were heading in the right direction. He laid a lot of groundwork that they benefited from
for a
long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
Right now, I'm 100% convinced of a couple of things with Jason Garrett. He has a lot of, like, foundational beliefs that will allow your organization to do a lot of things right. But he's so stuck in the past that he won't be able to get you, like, that last 20 or 30% of great coaching that will allow you to reach the top.
Right.
So
his other little flaw was game management. He was terrible at that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of them for sure, right? But chances Jason Garrett goes to New York, strikes success with Daniel Jones, and makes the Cowboys rue the day that they let him go, I put that well below 10%. It's deep in the 1% as far as probability goes.
Yeah, I think that, though, General, that some people, the analysis of life, this is going to sound strange,
okay,
but his analysis of life and what you need to do and how you need to do it and all, you know, it just becomes like, he's always searching for answers. He's always searching, always searching, always searching. And at some point in time, you've got to create your own. You got to stand in there and create your own fortune. Or you got to stand in there and be a difference maker. And, yeah, you know, educated people, and I'm not against you, but sometimes you just get stuck or paralyzed by always trying to just, okay, what about, you know, every year we had a new T-shirt we wore at the Cowboys. You know, every year it was fight, focus. You know, it was always searching for something, you know, instead of just saying, you know what, damn it, we're going to do this, you know, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to build it off this. Every year it seemed like we were doing something completely like, okay, where'd he go off to get this? You know, did he go to Tibet? You know, is he having tea with the Dalai Lama?
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing here? You know, and you become paralyzed thinking like that. And I think with him, he became paralyzed that way.
No, I think you're right, and I think there was paralysis by over-analysis at the end of games.
Yes.
You're stuck there thinking, oh, what should I do this? Should I do that? And it caused inaction.
You used to say that for years. You used to say his education is stopping him, is freezing him up in these games. You've been saying that for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing. You know, that analytical type of guy, he needs the right kind of job to maximize that brain. You know, and unfortunately, he's put in a job where you need more balls than brain.
I am all about education. Trust me, my you know Bennett. I'm doing everything in my power so he doesn't have to end up at LSU. Okay, so you know, there comes a point in time where you know sometimes as a coach you have just got to make a gut call or you know you've got to show something. You've got to be a difference maker. You know, and I say that a lot about him. Well, he is not a difference maker.
He was trying to be a difference maker in the life philosophies that he was
molder
passing along
to his
19 players.
Inches, and it's like
molder of men.
You wouldn't wear that T-shirt because you had a 19-inch T-shirt. It said 19 with you know the inch marks, and people look at you like, what are you wearing that shirt for? Without you'd have to stop. Everybody's looking at you like, no, it's about home plate. It's about you know, it was a story about home plate. And there comes a point in time you're like, damn it, just go out there and play football.
Well, I have an idea. Spend your time in the offseason finding out what's going to give us a winning edge on Sundays.
You know what it was, Gavin? He wouldn't dare to be great. There's a reason he's a 500 coach. He had his philosophy, but he would not dare to be great. He would never take a chance.
He talked about being great.
I like it.
But he didn't have the ingredients to be great.
Balls.
No.
That's
I mean,
the problem. I mean, there's, you know, when you get to a certain point in time, you've got to find ways to be that guy, that gal that is going to put this thing over the top. And he just never, it was like he was always treading water. You know, yes, it's flooding and it's flooding and I'm still swimming and I'm, you know, and in reality, you should have drowned, you know? I mean, because everything you're doing is not helping. You know, it's not helping, you know?
Instead of using all of your energy to try to swim for the shore, you're sitting there treading water, hoping that a rescue boat shows
up. You hope that Dak comes by in the boat and throws you a life preserver, and he did for a little bit.
And then it's not that you weren't a fast enough swimmer. It's that the safety guy just didn't I did everything I could do, you know? I made and you got to go grab the destiny, I think, in football more than anything, especially because it's a 50-50 league. You have to be a little bit more comfortable with risk.
Hey,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
We got a Tolo, the text in from Ohio, and I think he's got a philosophical point. He said, Confucius say, man who only seeks gold overlooks bag full of millions.
He was stuck in the past in a lot of ways, which was fascinating because I'm sure intellectually he would sit there and talk about a nonstop pursuit of knowledge, you know, but he felt like when it came to the knowledge of football, he had learned everything that was really necessary. And, you know, the problem with that is the game's continuing to evolve.
Yeah.
And it's turning. And if you're not thinking ahead of it to capitalize on the patterns that other teams are in a copycat league, it's a huge missed opportunity.
For somebody that does push education, he didn't get educated. You know, I mean, his NFL education was stuck at a certain level.
And that's weird because part of the tradition of football coaching is admitting, I don't have the answers. This old boy in East Texas is doing something. I got to go down there and study with him.
I got to figure this out. You know, when you see what's going on right now with the Ravens and how they're playing or Kansas City, and how could you not watch those teams and go, wow, okay, I see something here. You know, instead, you're going to you're just going to keep blindly doing what you believe in, and I get doing things you believe in. I get that. But there comes a point in time where you have to be able to adapt to change, and he just wouldn't do it.
What did I say? The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah, nice job there. Okay, it's the 10 biggest storylines of the Cowboys offseason, and yes, that one right there is massive, a new coaching regime.
Yeah.
It has all the possibilities to open up what we think this organization is capable of. And it also has the possibility of confirming our worst fears about what this organization isn't capable of.
That's true.
I mean, you get a coach that's won the Super Bowl, and now you can't say, well, we need a coach who can win the Super Bowl. This guy can.
He can.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, number two, new Hall of Famers and a snub. Jimmy Johnson, Cliff Harris, and then Drew Pearson still not in. It was absolutely heartbreaking to see the expression on his face. That was an insane start to the offseason there, Super Bowl week. Drew was so ticked.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, you know, just as big as that snub is the you still ain't getting in the Ring of Honor position from the Joneses.
Yeah.
That's something right there. We kind of skipped over that one. I don't know why. Maybe the NFL free agency was starting or something.
What did Jerry say? Well, I don't want it to interfere with the with Jimmy's Hall of Fame celebration. I don't want to talk about Ring of Honor.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well done, Jerry. Figured out a way out again.
Yeah, wink, wink.
Number three is the Dak Prescott contract saga.
Hmm.
And hopefully this is the last year we have that for a while, but it is definitely one of the top Cowboys offseason storylines. Number four is surprising. Let's get into that one. Amari Cooper got his long-term deal. Not surprising that he got it, but that he was actually in free agency for like a day, and Washington was the only team that made a better offer to him than the Cowboys. Remember the build-up to it was, oh, Cowboys don't want to see him in free agency. The Denver Broncos are lining up. Everybody's lining up. But it turned out to be the perfect opportunity for the Cowboys to let him be out there and test the market. Knowing what was coming in the draft, a lot of teams felt like we can draft a wide receiver or we can take a different approach. We don't want to drop $20 million. So the fact he was out there and ended up coming back and then turned down significantly more from a division rival was just – it was a really incredible story from the beginning all the way through.
Give Amari credit for knowing that the Redskins are a raggedy organization, and he said, I'll just stay right where I am for this $100 million, which is really only 2 years. And it wasn't like a great contract, but it was even though the money was bigger with the Redskins, he knew that was a raggedy organization.
I think that he evaluated what was happening in the college draft. I really do. I think that people were like, listen, we can get just as talented receivers, you know, through this draft, maybe five, six guys. They're just, you know, that we don't have to pay $20 million to, you know, and the Cowboys ended up with one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They even paid the guy and ended up with one of the best players in the draft.
Amari's like, man, I need to get what I can get right now and then maybe be a free agent in a couple years when a historic wide receiver draft isn't happening in the middle of my market.
I don't know if Amari really has the stomach to go through that whole thing. You know, and go through the whole thing of being courted and maybe not being courted. You know what I'm saying? As a personality, do you think he's one of those guys like, wow, this is not working out too well for
me? You've got a point in a different kind of way, though. He's not like a Deion Sanders where he's a hired gun. I don't think he's the Odell Beckham Jr. type of wide receiver where he's always said he loved the Cowboys.
Right.
But he also said, just like you pointed out, he doesn't like cold weather.
Well, I don't think he likes the stomach of being told that he's not being accepted. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to go through, kind of like arbitration
people don't
in baseball.
Want me? People don't want me? What? Okay, I'm Amari Cooper. What?
Okay, we have the five other biggest storylines. We're going to have to get to that a little bit later on in the show because the first five took up so much time. Ooh, look at that.
That's on me. Sorry.
That was good
no,
stuff.
That was great. It was a great conversation on Jason Garrett, man. Yeah. I always prefer to let the content dictate it than feel like we got to get stuff in if it's a good conversation. Played that well. Okay, here we go. Coming up next, it's time for Mike Fisher to join us. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. Double Insider has the Cowboys and Mavericks covered, and he's got the details next in the Nation. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time now for Mike Fisher segment. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. He's a Double Insider. Mike McCarthy spoke with the media today. We'll get Fish's inside words and analysis on that. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels at 214-333-3333 or go online to truckwreck.com. How the heck are you, Fish?
Good. Yeah, Mike McCarthy was good today. And in kind of a freewheeling 35-minute Q&A. Now, he did throw out a couple of I can only control things within my control. I only concern my things with, you know, so there was only a couple things that were Garrett-esque. But the rest of it, pretty laid back and semi-revealing about what they're doing on a day-to-day and minute-by-minute basis. Not exactly inside the star, but, you know, kind of.
I just love how he's not so careful with every one of his words. You know, there's just a little bit more of a, I'm going to sit here and shoot, and if you don't like it,
he will until you start ripping him on Monday morning after a loss.
Okay.
Yeah, that could change. And, of course, he's got 13 years of experience in trying to deal with us dopes, and he's probably learned some things along the way. Brian's right, though, that that on Monday morning after a loss, actually, I hope that part of me, unlike Red Ball, who just kind of stayed the same all the time, it might be kind of entertaining for us and the audience. The Tolo might even kind of like to have a head coach who's mad on Monday after a loss. Now, don't rip us after a win, but you can rip us after a loss because you're mad. But, Gavin, to what you're saying, like at one point in this conversation today, McCarthy said something about, well, you know, he was asked if he'd talked to other NFL head coaches about the situation. And he said, well, you know, I've got some people that I'm friends with. He said, then I've got some other people that aren't in the NFL that I'm friends with. And he dropped it. And I wanted to circle back to that, but with some trepidation, because I'm so used to asking the question, which the obvious question after he says that is, like, who? Who are your friends that you've talked with? And I'm so conditioned around here to have the head coach say, well, you know, that's not really important. Well, when it is important.
Buddhist monk friend of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact is, of course, then in the walk-off, Jason Garrett, then he'd reveal his relationship with a Tony La Russa or Rick Carlisle or the manager of the Yankees and that kind of stuff. So there is value there. And then McCarthy did. He said, well, you know, it's not like a bunch of NFL head coaches. Then he mentioned a couple of college coaches that he's really good friends with that he visited with, just to kind of share notes on how in the world do we do a football mini camp OTAs meetings with everybody sitting on their couch. And so that is a big part, obviously, of what they're doing now. He was asked, General, about the kind of the psychology of all this. And he said, you know, we're really going to wait till we get face-to-face with people to talk about more of the mental side of all of it and deep philosophical thoughts on it. Right now, let's just get the game plan in and understand what guys' jobs are.
Okay. And did you get the feeling that that is being communicated sufficiently?
Yeah, and of course, no head coach is going to say otherwise, but
yeah,
he detailed a little bit. This morning they had a big all-offense meeting. I assume it didn't include one particular person, which we'll get to in a minute. But all-offense, and they're on – Brian, they're not on Zoom. They're on the – what's it called?
Because I think it's WebEx, Webinar. WebEx. They're Cisco folks over there.
Cisco, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so
Fish, is he here or is he in Frisco?
He's in Green Bay.
Okay, it's Green funny Bay. To say that, yeah, because we made fun of him, had fun with him. During the draft, when it looked like he was, you know, standing in the bathroom doing his video stuff during the draft and during visits with us and that kind of stuff. But yeah, he's been spending time in Green Bay where he has a home. I think they did, Brian, set him up with an apartment here. And I think he might have been here briefly, but Chris is a good question because at some point, you know, this is going to be his home. What, how many years is on his contract, Brian? Do we remember?
Is this 4 or 5? I don't know.
Something like that.
With an option,
And he's going to be making enough of money that he's surely going to eventually buy a house in Frisco. That would be a wise investment, by the way. And hurry up and do it, Coach. But right now he is hunkered down in Green Bay, and the family is together. And I mean, it makes sense. Coaches can't be in the building right now anyway in the NFL. I assume, though, as soon as coaches are allowed in NFL facilities, that he will zip down here and get to work here in Frisco.
Okay, and then what else do you have going on there, Fish?
Yeah, so the installation of stuff and the way a typical day looks. Offense was this morning, and they had the whole group of them, which is a big, gigantic Brady Bunch-looking thing, obviously. And afternoon is – after all the afternoons are rookies. And so that gives, I think, position coaches some time to really get, you know, really roll up their sleeves with the rookies and make sure they understand, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, here's your job, and here's the terminology. And then at night, he says that's when, in the evenings, we have our coaches' meetings. So it's a pretty full day sitting there staring at a computer screen, and he was asked, what's the biggest challenge of all this? And he goes, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I've never been on camera more in my life. Where I'm on camera constantly. Everything I do on camera. And you guys with the fan cam, of course, I'm sure you've understand by now. You know, don't pick your teeth, Chris, on camera. You know what I'm talking about.
Got you down. So,
but I do think it's interesting that they're deciding now's not the time to try to bond or to try to be, you know, get into the deep philosophies of life or even talk too much about COVID-19 and the obstacles. Let's just do football right now, because half these guys, Gavin, more than half, the majority of these guys haven't actually really met this coach. If we think back when he first got hired, there was a quick time to meet with some of the players who weren't going to be there. There was an eventual conversation with Dak Prescott and not much else. And some of the guys that did hang out with him that very first day, Randall Cobb hung out with him. He's not here anymore. And Travis Frederick hung out with him. And yeah, he's not here anymore. And so I think he's probably making a good call there, because how are you going to trust me with our deep, deep bond when all we've ever now talked by is FaceTime? So that seems like a pretty smart call to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how to look at it, Fish. You know, there's something about the NFL and different teams that as soon as things get a little bit hard and they have to reinvent something, they like to just kick it on down the road, you know? And I don't know if that's what's happening with this team, or they're making a smart decision about how to best use their time during a pandemic.
I totally see your point. And not until they win or lose the first game, that's when we'll make a judgment. Oh, they blew it. They should have gotten deep into this and that. The same as we do every year in the Super Bowl. You know, I love to tell this story about going to the Super Bowl all these years as we have, and noticing that one team on Monday, they go play golf and they go drink beer and they chase women and there's no curfew. And the other team, you know, they're all in suits and ties. Then I'm like, okay, it's Monday. I'll let you know Sunday which philosophy was right. Either boy, that coach let them be loose and let them be themselves, or coach made it business first, which gets reversed and say, oh, they weren't focused, or they're too tight, depending on how many points they scored and gave up on Sunday. So I don't know that there's a right way. And Gavin, I'm sure you'd agree with this. Since there's virtually no precedent for this, how would you know what the right way is? How exactly do you know? How many hours should we do this? How closely should we monitor how many sit-ups the guy's doing in his living room?
Well, that's what I'm paying a coach $5 million a year for.
He better count the sit-ups, damn it.
He better have the answers. Yeah, and Fish, I would ask you this. How many more years until you can just say body of work, you know? Whenever I detect any sort of complacency or what I call being drunk on money in pro sports, I'm going to call it that. And if your organization is one of the few that hasn't even gotten to the semifinals and your peers are Detroit and Washington, I'm going to say you are organizationally mediocre. And when you go out and have another blah season, it's not going to be arbitrary narrative assignment after the fact. I'm going to say I knew this was about to happen, because when you hit adversity, you say, well, we can figure that out down the road.
All right, try this on for size. You know what the Saints are doing under beloved coach Sean Payton?
They're chilling.
They're chilling.
So are the Eagles.
He's had coronavirus.
Yeah.
Sean Payton's had coronavirus.
That's true.
Right.
You have sports money virus. You know? That's a winning organization down there.
And the Eagles have, we won that one Super Bowl?
Two years ago.
They won the division last year.
Yeah.
They won the division.
They won the Super Bowl a couple years ago,
sure,
Mike.
Did.
You can't discount that.
They are running circles around the Cowboys in team building in multiple different ways.
I think the measure needs to be the measure, and I think it's a little premature to measure Mike McCarthy. He just got here. He doesn't even know where the McDonald's are yet in Frisco.
Oh, he'll figure it out.
Yes, but the organizational leadership is letting him know in the early months just how hard you got to work to overcome adversity. Something popped up. I mean, you could be building relationships. There's no, you can talk on the phone. It's all about communication. That's, you know,
you guys look at you guys. It's true. You guys do it every day on fan cam.
What?
Yeah.
You're bonding from a distance. So, mm-hmm. but You guys have had eight years head start on Mike McCarthy. I think, Gavin, I'm with you on the expectations being lofty. They should be. I don't think 8-8 is ever good enough for almost any team. But I do recognize that 2/3 of every year, teams finish 8-8 or within two games of it. It is a 500 league. It obviously is imperative that this coach gets them up and over, especially, I'll give you what he did say about the advantage they have, and I hope you'll appreciate this. He says, you know, one of the things we got going for us, this might be, he said, the most veteran team I've ever coached. Now, I'm thinking about that, and Brian Broaddus and Jeff would be able to go over the Packers' 13 years of roster off the top of their heads way better than most of us. But, like, I think of the Cowboys as being a young team.
2 years ago, the youngest team in the playoffs.
That's all they ever bragged about, Garrett.
Yeah. Now they're 2 years older, I guess. But maybe they're young veterans. I mean, maybe it's fair to say that, listen, I you know, Dak Prescott is, yes, he's a veteran, but he's young. Ezekiel Elliott is still relatively young. Obviously, even Amari Cooper, the old man of the receiving core, all three of those guys are 24 and under. So he still believes, though, that a building block here and maybe a shortcut to get to where Gavin Dawson wants him to get is, I've got veterans here. I have young veterans who are going to figure this out really quickly, and that's an advantage the Cowboys have. At least Cowboys Nation hopes he's right there.
Mike, are they going to use this pandemic as an excuse for not being good if they're not good?
Like we
say the weather at New England was bad, so kick that game out for Dak Prescott?
Yeah, and that doesn't work for me because the weather is bad in the NFL. The weather's bad like, what, a third of the time?
Well, I'm just asking. I mean, because we tend to kick that game out. You know, we say, yeah, oh, the weather was bad. But are teams going to use the pandemic to say that we weren't very good because of it? Or that's the excuse?
Yeah. Not just the Cowboys, but in the same way that when the quarterback breaks his ankle, the coach, some people say, well, you can't judge the coach on this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. And I've never been much of a believer in that because the window is small. The window of opportunity, relatively speaking, is small. Even Dak Prescott might play here for the next 8 years. But when it's over with, it's going to seem like it went pretty fast, especially if they don't quite ever get it done. So, yeah, Brian, I think some organizations will use that. And there's probably some losing organizations that are already planning on doing it. I hope this team isn't one of them.
Anything else before we let you go, Fish?
Two quickies. He did talk about Aldon Smith a little bit. Very excited about him. And I'm interested in – I want to see Aldon Smith physically. I want to see him walk around at 287. That's what Jay Glazer says he is now. I mean, I remember him as being a little more of a long guy. Don't you, Brian?
That's him.
Yeah, but at 287, that's a different body type. And then he talked about Dak Prescott, and he said, listen, as the coach, I've been through this. Totally understand it's a business. He says, I have no concerns about Dak Prescott being ready and being under center when it's time. And again, Cowboys Nation crosses their fingers that also is true.
Great stuff as always, Fish. We'll catch
yes,
up
sir.
With you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Your beers.
There
Your
he
beers.
Goes. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. Okay, should the Cowboys do what the Miami Dolphins are doing? They're turning Hard Rock Stadium into a drive-in theater. I saw the New York Yankees are doing this as well. Yeah, they've come up with a way to put Hard Rock Stadium to use there during the hiatus. Teams converting it to a drive-in theater. Open-air theater. It's going to accommodate 230 vehicles.
It'll show a big screen.
It'll show classic Miami Dolphins content from the team's 54-year history, classic motion picture films, host commencement ceremonies, and other events. We've spent several weeks planning this to be able to provide people with a safe option to go out and enjoy some movies, classic Dolphins content, concert, and celebrate 2020 graduates. Fundamental human need to physically experience and celebrate events and experiences together. So I think that's cool. It's a very exclusive type experience, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much do you have to pay to be one of, like, 50 cars that might get to drive right into AT&T Stadium and watch a movie? That would be pretty killer. I think I would be willing to spend, like, I don't know, $500 to drive my family in there if it was like a once-in-a-lifetime type event.
Sure.
Maybe this is something you do for your season ticket holders or suite holders.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You know, thank you for being a suite holder. Thank you for paying for these seat licensings.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that they're going to be the first opportunity for sure.
But it's a big expense just to turn the lights on.
Sure
so
is.
Maybe it is a thank you to season ticket holders, or it's got to be some sort of a PR event.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to him a long time ago about what would it take to do a Madden video game tournament on the Jumbo TV.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you're looking at about $20,000 just as like to get the conversation going.
Hey, just to prove your point, I asked them a long time ago how much it costs, like when they flipped it to a basketball court, because you know they had the All-Star game there and they had some NCAA games there. They said it costs $1 million whenever they transform that field from football to anything. $1 million.
Wow, that is insane.
It is. That's crazy money.
You see, like 2-3 hours after the game, the crew's working to turn things over, and they're. It's got to be over 100 people there.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive.
Overnight.
Yeah, there's many nights I've sat in that press box working on stories and stuff, and they're rolling it, and they're going. It's going from NFL football field to a college football field,
right?
Which is, you know, it's insane that they do it that. But they, if you look at the way it's converted, the college football scene at that stadium is incredible,
and the fact
that they take the opportunity to make sure that both teams have their names on the end zone and they have the right sponsor and stuff, so. That's money well spent, in my opinion.
Think of the stuff that they've had there. They've had, like, monster truck things. They've had, like, college football, NCAA basketball, NBA All-Star game. They've had concerts there. They've even had, like, Boy Scout sleepovers down there. And remember, they had a barbecue. They had a Father's Day barbecue with 105 through the Fan.
Yeah, like Father's Day 2011 or something like that.
It was great.
I remember talking with Sean Lee there. They had food. That was an awesome event.
It was awesome.
Baseball stuff, the top three questions and answers about what baseball players are saying about getting back to work. That's next here on The Fan. Yes, thank you, Lucius. It's time for some baseball stuff. We do it every day here in this segment in the spirit and a tradition of Mike Bassick's Baseball Nuggets that used to grace this very segment. We have the top three questions with answers to MLB's attempts to get back to playing as negative momentum really struck over the last 24, 48 hours, many players feeling offended by the owner's latest proposal. So where are we? Let's get into that and more. As this is from Jesse Rogers, ESPN. How much more likely does the proposal make the players to agree to a deal? One player said it's already much better than any revenue-sharing split, but it doesn't make it likely they'll accept. Players already believe they've agreed to a prorated salary structure, so selling them on taking even less won't be easy. Where do talks go next from here, then, would be the next question. The union is likely to respond. And based what I can tell on Google right now, guys, you're looking at an expected response by the end of the week, maybe in the next day. And this plan might include full prorated salaries, but with deferments. Behind the scenes, many players and agents find this idea intriguing, knowing revenues will return in coming years and full value of current contracts can be paid then. Another option is to offer a straight cut across the board, say 10%, instead of a sliding scale. So the ball is right now in the player's court. And then the final question, why would MLB's highest paid players be willing to agree to a deal that costs them more than others? There's a good chance they won't.
Yeah.
Says Jesse Rogers, but if they did, it would be because a player who was going to make $20 million could still make $6.5 million this season, while the lower paid players are also protected. But then you get into a catch-22 that if you can afford to be like, I guess I'm still getting money. How much money do you have in the bank? You know, that's the thing that the league is kind of dealing with is. So many players who have made so much money that they don't really need the league. So that's kind of what takes us to where the controversy is around this story right now, guys. and that is the union feeling the league is trying to divide and conquer us.
Yeah.
Pit the haves against the have-nots, kind of like how the NFL did.
Absolutely.
You really can't blame MLB owners for attempting to do it. The majority of the league is not making millions and millions of dollars. So if the stars want to say, not enough, well, that's fine. We'll just get all of your more working class type of teammates to approve this. And then if you really want to sit out, that's fine, but you'll be in violation of your own union.
Yeah, this is a clear example of what happened with the Players Association, and the owners of Major League Baseball are saying, look how it worked for in the NFL. You know, look at, yeah, you had big time players, high dollared players coming out and saying, no, we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did the votes swing? You know,
rank and file.
It rank and file. So, you know, Major League Baseball sees the same opportunity. You know, yes, they have some players that make very good money, guaranteed money. And so, you know, they're going to say, let's try and divide these guys here. If we could get our rank and file to do the same thing, you know, we could get this passed. So it's a plan that they've seen work in the sport that's you know, clearly the top one of all the sports.
They're playing the long game, and that's what the union is well aware of. This the fans don't know, but they know these owners. They don't trust the owners. The owners are playing the long game, and the union, which is the most powerful union in sports, maybe one of the most powerful unions in all of America, they're like, we better hang on to what we got because we got it made.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, and a lot of the pressure is going to be put on the players because you're making all this money. But, you know, the players feel like if we're weak, we're going to let the owners win right here. The Stars, with this proposal, would end up taking an 80% hit in this situation. And now you're really starting to get to a point. You want me to play half the games, but I'm only going to get 20% of the money? And that's the kind of situation there where maybe the Stars will decide, hey, listen, you can make this deal with the rank and file, but maybe we'll just decide we don't want to play because we have enough money. Would MLB still have enough of a product? Would their
without
TV
the
partners?
Yeah, without the Stars. That's crazy. No Bryce Harper. No Trout.
Yeah, I think that it would be, you know, this is what I've tried to learn about the sliding scale thing, you know, and that's what, you know, but if you're asking me, and I could see why Snell came out and said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not, no. You're going to, you know, you agreed to this, you're going to pay me. You know, you're going to pay me all this money that you owe me, and I'm, you know, I don't care about prorations or any other thing. You're the one that agreed on the contract, so you pay me. But I'm interested about the sliding scale thing that they've got, because to me it sounds like it guarantees them more money when they get to the playoffs, you know, and they can make some money back up at that point in time. But I think that they've got to find a way to make this work. And you know, there's some people say, hey, if you're Mike Trout and you're making $35 million and all of a sudden now you're only making $8 million. There's people who say, well, Mike, it's $8 million. You know, it is $8 million. You know, it's not like we're taking you down to, you know, $150,000. You know, it is $8 million. So, I know that's a terrible way of looking at it, but there's people that will be out there that say, hey, that's just in this day and age of what we're dealing with right now, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's the unfortunate thing, that some people are making huge sacrifices, and sports are no different in that way.
Yeah, and I would look at it if I'm a player, like, well, yeah, I am going to want all of the money because I'm saving the sport.
Right.
I'm out here in the stadium. I'm mingling with the other team. You can stay in your office or stay at home. And – what, so you're going to tell me you're still entitled to the tens of millions of dollars of profit the organization's going to get? I could say back to you, you're doing nothing. I'm out here on the front lines risking. If it's not for us, you don't even have a team anymore. So I want to be compensated for saving this sport at a time when many businesses are deciding we can't even open our doors.
Right.
You're saying, no, y'all are coming back. I'm getting governmental pressure. I have elected officials putting pressure on me like I have an obligation to save this sport. And you're talking about a revenue split here while you're sitting in your
Is there an assumption of risk, though, by the owners? Is there an assumption of risk?
You know,
but by the way that they're the ones by owning the team, they have risk. They have risk every day. I mean, these players, and I understand what you're saying, General. I do. But I think if you're going to argue about the players, you have to turn around and look at ownership. There's risk involved, too. They stand to lose billions of dollars here.
But not their lives.
This is what Gavin's point is.
I understand
Gavin's point is that's their side business. It's their toy. They usually made their billions on some other corporate
thing. Now, wait a minute. There's not every one of these owners have this as a toy. Let's not go there. Some of these are family businesses, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens in the NFL. Joneses. I understand.
I don't want you to lose money.
That's what I'm saying. I'm providing you an opportunity. Yes, you have the skill, General. You have the skill to play outfield. You're a five-tool player, and you're a $35 million player. But there's assumption of risk on my part, too, you know?
Yeah.
For me to have this ability to pay you, there's things I have to go through to make sure you get out on the field.
Yeah,
you know,
and now you're really getting down to the nitty gritty of what these guys are going to be arguing about. Because while there is an assumption of risk, and you benefit by making money every year, we don't get to participate in the increased value of your team. So, Mr. Owner Man, you bought this at $500 million.
Right.
Now it's worth $2
billion. Yeah, I'm sorry my dad was a bootlegger and paid $1,000 for this team, you know, back in the day in the 1920s. I'm sorry about that. But the way this business is, we have a collective bargaining agreement. You know, your Tony Clark negotiated this on your behalf.
And during non-pandemic times, that collective bargaining agreement rules. Now we're talking about a new one, which involves me risking my life for $1 million or hundreds of thousands of dollars while you sit at home with no risk to your health making tens of millions of dollars.
I have employees, though, ball player, that I have to take care of, that I've had to
furlough. Yeah, and I don't want you to lose money.
I have a stadium that sits empty. I have staff.
That sounds like billionaire problems to me. Right, and right now, one of your billionaire problems is you need labor. So if you want me to go risk my life as a millionaire, you're going to have to pay me hazard pay for that. And I don't want to see any of this stuff in the headlines about how I'm selfish, because you want to take tens of millions of dollars off me and my friends while you risk nothing while we are saving the sport.
And you can write it off as a loss.
If I lose billions, though, I might not have this team anymore.
Well, then sell your team.
Because somebody will buy it.
What if I sell my team at a loss?
Somebody wants to buy my team.
It's not my problem.
Okay.
There's always somebody that will buy it.
Yeah.
Always.
You're saying my health is not your problem? Your business is not my problem.
No. Your health is my concern. I'm having bubble town for your health. I'm trying to do everything in my power to make sure you earn your $30 million a year on the field. That's what I'm doing. That's an assumption of risk. I am risking my business so you can make $30 million a year. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, you don't have a business without my talent.
Excuse me?
You don't have a business without my talent. You're right. You have minor league boring baseball without me.
That's right. You know what? That's what I might have to do to keep my business alive. That's what I might have to do. You're putting me in a corner right now because of this. Because
you're telling me I have to play.
I'm asking you, but something that we collectively bargained to agree to, that you play.
We did. We collectively bargained, and then I signed a contract on top of that for about 25 or 30 million bucks. We're going to play 82 games. You're not even offering me half. You're offering me 20% of that number. We collectively bargained. You know? There's a lot of history that goes into this, Brian.
Oh, there's no question. That's why this
is going to be ugly.
Okay, we got to go. When we come back,
good stuff, guys.
Poll of nearly 2,000 Cowboys fans. How many believe they'll win the Super Bowl in the next 5 years? It's coming up next in The Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.